to what Jesus saw. And as Jesus saw these things, it brought about action upon his part. Every time Jesus saw someone, he reacted. He did something because they touched his heart. What Jesus saw. There are so many references to this in the New Testament. There's over 24 references in the New Testament that refers to what Jesus saw. Now, during these sessions, some of them are repeats of the same story that's told in each one of the Gospels. One of the main ones is the feeding of the 5,000. That is one of the miracles that's in all four of the Gospels. My question is, what is Jesus seeing today? Not just in our nation or in our people, in our churches, but in the individuals. What is Jesus seeing? What does Jesus see when he looks at you? And Jesus is looking. Sometimes that upsets us a little bit when we realize that Jesus is looking. Sometimes we think he's not looking or he's not watching. We'll get to a reference here in a minute. I just want to give you a little bit of a background here on where we're headed here with this. When Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two of the brethren of John the Baptist walking. And he called them. He says he saw the two brothers and he called them to become fishers of men. When Jesus went to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, and she was ill. And he healed her, and she served them as he saw her need. Jesus saw the great multitudes several times. One time before he went to heal the man that had the legion of demons, and they were following him because they wanted to get fed again. And he challenged them with what really is a disciple. He saw Matthew, the tax collector, and he called him to be an apostle as he saw him. There was a woman in Matthew that had an issue of blood for 12 years. She touched the hem of his garment. He turned and he saw her and healed her. When the ruler of the Jews' daughter was dying, he went to their house and he saw everybody weeping because they didn't believe. The feeding of the 5,000, he saw much people. He was moved with compassion and fed them. It says, sheep not having a shepherd, he saw them as that. When, if you remember the story, when four men carried a man between them that was paralyzed, and they couldn't get into where Jesus was, and they took the roof off the house, and they let him down through the roof. And the man got saved and Jesus healed him. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw into their soul. When the disciples were trying to keep the children away from Jesus, he saw it. And he reprimanded them and say, suffer the little children to come unto me. He stopped that. I want us to look in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. This is one of the miracles of Christ. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, as we said, he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these many instances in your Bible where you saw and what you've done. God, let us see with your eyes today. And let us be observant as you speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus saw Zacharias up in the tree. Zacchaeus. Yes. Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he says, come unto me. And he went to his house. Here in this, he saw Jesus sees everything. When John described him in the book of Revelation, he talked about his eyes being as flames of fire. Not that they were, but they were like that. Piercing, seeing, judging, knowing all. When Peter had denied Christ the three times, and Peter was going from one trial to another trial, he saw Peter and Peter saw Jesus. And at the sight of Jesus, Peter was reminded of his sin and was convicted of his sin and went out and wept bitterly because of what he had done wrong. This woman was bent over. Something wrong with her back or whatever. She walked bent over all of the time. For 18 years, this had been going on with this woman. Now, what is very interesting about this is as walking like this, she couldn't see the face of Jesus. All she saw was the feet of people. Little bugs and the dirt and all those things. She was around where Jesus was. We don't have anything about her crying out to Jesus or anything. But she was bowed over. And Jesus saw her. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over to him. He saw her and had compassion on her. He wanted to help her. She did not say, I've been like this for 18 years and nobody can help me. There's no hope. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, it says she spent all of her money on doctors and physicians and all of those things. No one could help her. This lady was obedient to Jesus when He called her over. And she responded and came over by Jesus. And said, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity," in verse 12. Loosed. To be set free. You think about a lost person today that doesn't know Jesus. They are bound up by Satan. They are bound up by religion or whatever. They are bent over under the weight of sin. And God can come and set them free to loose them. As you look at this and you read this, it's like she was tied by something. But she didn't have a rope around her neck or anything like that. Her infirmity, whatever's wrong with her back or whatever it was, had made her a prisoner. Had bound her up, locked her up. And changed her whole life. She couldn't do a lot of the if she did some of the normal chores that she had to do, it was very hard for her. Everything had to be made so she could use it. 18 years. I don't know of anyone that's had that kind of an illness for 18 years. To be a prisoner to that for 18 years. For 18 years to only be able to walk around the world like this in life. All you could see was people's feet. For 18 years. Never set free. People saw her. Maybe they had pity on her. I don't know. But it says when Jesus saw her, He called her over to Him. And immediately it says, Jesus does things immediately. When Jesus heals, it's done immediately. When Jesus saves a soul, that soul is saved immediately. It doesn't say she had to go to therapy or anything to learn how to walk or how to straighten up or whatever. Even in bed, she had to sleep bent over. She couldn't lay on her back, couldn't lay on her stomach. The only option that she had was to lay on her side. And I would imagine once she got on that side, if you're bent over like this, how are you going to turn over to the other side? I wonder, when she went home that night, if she got in bed and curled up in a ball? I doubt it, don't you? I doubt very likely if she did that. She's been looking at little bugs and feet and the dirt. You know, they didn't have Nikes and Red Wings and all those things back in those days. They pretty much wore sandals, dirt roads. Been looking at all everybody's dirty feet. She might have been an expert on sandals. I don't know. But listen, she, the next day, you didn't see her walking down the road like this. Well, that's what I'm used to. I've done this for 18 years. It seems normal for me. It seems natural for me. She didn't do that, did she? Once she was set free to be free. Sometimes we get set free from sin and we try and go back and pick it up again. Dabble in it. But it's never going to be fun. It never will. Jesus saw her. There was a man in John chapter 9 that was born blind. And Jesus saw him and healed him. He couldn't see Jesus. He was blind. This woman couldn't lift up her body to look at Jesus in the face. I'm willing to bet you the first face that she saw that day was Jesus. Now, in verse 13 of chapter 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Not almost straight, or pretty straight, close to straight. She was made straight. When the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in a person's soul, when they get saved, that soul is sealed under the day of redemption. That soul is saved. And it's not saved a little bit. It's not saved part way. It's saved all the way. And was made straight and glorified God. God receives the glory when he does things like this. Not somebody, not the preacher, the church, but God receives the glory. Because God was walking among man that day, the incarnation of God. And God saw a woman that had a need. And he called her to him. And he reached out and said, "You're loosed from your infirmities." And he touched her. And she was made straight immediately and glorified God. Now look at the next verse. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The religious leader got upset that he healed on their Sabbath day, their day of rest, because it was work. There's 6 days a week. Let them get healed on that other six days. Now listen. This woman's been this way for 18 years. He wants her to stay that way for another day and take care of it on the next day. Where's the compassion? Where's the love? Going against their traditions. Going against how they had made the law of the Sabbath that God made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And they're taking it and they're blowing it all out of proportion and making it all crazy. They couldn't see the miracle. They couldn't see the glory. They couldn't see what had happened to this precious woman's life. Because their eyes were so upset with their little procedures. The Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite." Jesus didn't hold it back, man. He just told him like it was. "Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bonds on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Satan bound this woman up. That's Satan's goal, desire, is to bind people up in sin, lock them up in sin. He wants to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. Your back may be okay, but your heart is bent under the burden of sin. As this woman was bound by Satan, people get bound by Satan today. They're walking down the road straight. They may have been to the chiropractor and they got everything fixed. Except their heart. And they are prisoners. They are bound. They are chained. They are locked up by sin. The old saying, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay and take you further than you want to go. Prisoners to sin. It could be some bad habit. Prisoner to it. Can't kick the habit. You can with Jesus. All your body gets craving and gets trained and desires and wants and everything else, you know? People say the word diet and everybody gets hungry. You know? Whether you are or whether you're not. Because the body says, "Wait a minute, I'm in charge, not you." I mean, it can be cigarettes, it can be pornographic stuff, it can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can be TV, movies, computers, it can be a hobby, it can be sports. Can be another man or another woman. There's 1,000 things it can be out there. But it has you. It has you. It has you locked up. It has you bound up. And you are walking through life staring at the world and can't look at Jesus. Because you're bound up by this sin. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees into your heart. He saw the faith of those men. He saw this woman that couldn't even see him. He saw the man that was born blind. He saw those disciples, the future disciples, following him. And he turned around and says, come on. He saw Matthew at his job collecting taxes. Come. He saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. Come down. He saw that multitude of people that he taught when he fed the 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. He saw them. As sheep not having a shepherd, he saw them. But when Jesus saw him, he did something. Sometimes Christians, you're out and you're walking around and you see someone that's hurting. You see someone that's got a problem. You see a situation coming. And you do nothing. You see the need. You know they need Jesus. You know they need God in their life. You can see it in their face. You can see the hurt in their face. And you see it. Just going to walk on and leave them? Jesus didn't do that, did he? Every time he saw something, it brought action. It brought action. Because of the love that he has. And every time Jesus saw someone, and he called them over. And when they responded, it helped. There was a rich man that came to Jesus. And when he realized that he loved his money more than Jesus, in Luke, and when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter in the kingdom of God. Now it says later on, all things are possible with God. He was sorrowful. He witnessed to this man, told him how to be saved, basically telling him that Jesus has to be your number one love. Jesus has to be a priority in your life. You have to give your soul to Jesus. You have to invite Jesus into your life. You have to want to let Jesus help you. This man didn't want that. He wanted it his way. It says when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful. Very sorrowful. You know why Jesus was so sorrowful? Because he knew someday that man would be in hell. Hell's real. He knew he would be there. Some people say, they did it. Let them go to hell. I don't care. They don't have the love of God in their heart. You see people that have a need. Call them to Jesus. And if they will come, then Jesus can help them. Jesus is looking at you today, right now. And Jesus is looking right at you with those flames, eyes of flames. It says in Revelation chapter 1, as John tried to some way in some kind of words describe what he saw with the glory of Jesus. All knowing. A friend knows everything about you and still likes you. Think about that. They know everything about you and they still like you. Jesus knows everything about you. Even some of the things that you're wanting to do that you haven't done. And He loves you. He loves you. You can trust Jesus because He loves you. You don't have to be afraid of Jesus because He loves you. Jesus didn't walk up to that woman and put His hand on her shoulder and put His hand in her back and go, "Now you're straight." He didn't do that, did He? You are loosed from your infirmity. And He touched her. Oh, she's straight. But she's straight because of the love of God. Not because He broke her back. But because He fixed her back. God doesn't want to break you. You're already broke. He wants to fix you. Because He loves you. Have you noticed how guys always try and fix things first before they look at the instructions? They want to fix things. It's in our blood. We want to fix things. We want to straighten it out. Have cars come in the shop sometimes and says, "It can't be fixed. It's too far gone." You're not too far gone. God's in the fixing business because He loves you. Kids don't want to go get a shot because it's going to hurt. God is going to fix things. This woman may have had to change her clothes after that because she had to wear them a little longer in the back. Now maybe they drug the ground. I don't know. But it all got fixed. We tend to adjust our lives to the sin we're living in. But God can fix it. God can straighten it out. If you'll let Him. Jesus is looking at you right now today. Do you feel those everlasting eyes of God touching your soul? He's looking into your soul. He's looking into your thoughts. Jesus is watching you. And Jesus loves you. He wants to do great things in your life. Jesus saw what you did last night, or what you did yesterday, or what you want to do later. He loves you. He's looking for someone to follow Him, a disciple. He's looking for someone to heal so He can touch their life. He's looking for someone to make whole. He wants to touch your family. He's looking for someone to wipe away their tears. He wants to give you great joy. He's looking for someone He can set free. Let Him set you free. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation and see what God has for us today. Jesus loves you. You don't have to be afraid of Jesus. He wants to help you. Christian, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you positive about that? Is He doing something in your life? Is He trying to help you in your life? Are you fighting the changes? Are you seeing people in need and you're just walking away from them? Or is God looking at your heart and say, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Dear God, we ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these precious words. And God, that You'll take Your Scriptures and the power of what You have and touch hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus.